Join longtime local and social butterfly Michelle Dragony as she flits up and down the coastside on her intrepid cruiser Flame, chatting with coastal characters at every turn.
So the coastal butterfly is back to see Dr. Stephen Minahan of Time Integrative Health. And since we last spoke, Michelle has finished her cleanse. She's eliminated all the bad things from her diet, except for alcohol. I just could not give up a glass of wine in the evening. So now I'm at the stage where I'm challenging the elimination diet by adding things back in. For instance, the first thing I get to add back in is cheese. I love cheese. In fact, for lunch, I'm going to have a burger with cheese on it. But I'm not allowed to have the bun yet. That comes on Thursday. It was a bit of a challenge with the elimination, but I felt great the entire time. And so there were two goals that I had. One was to see if I could do something about the fibromyalgia muscle ache thing that I have. And I was also exploring whether or not this would help with the hot flashes. Well, neither really were affected in a positive way. So now I'm going to be talking to Dr. Stephen about what I'm going to do after I finish my challenge diet. I'm going to circle back. I'm going to give up alcohol for a couple of weeks and see if there's any affect there. And then what are we going to do about the fibromyalgia? Let's talk about the strategy there.
Well, first of all, let's say this, that experiment is not over. The introduction diet is really important. It's probably the most important step that's often overlooked, the reintroduction or challenge diet. Patients usually get really excited that their 21 days are up. You're tempted to be like, 20 days is good enough. And oftentimes they rush back into eating like they did before. In a lot of cases when they do that, they get some interesting feedback. They don't feel very good when they do it. But if they throw it all back in at once and they don't know what made them feel poorly, our body tends to adapt when we eat poorly. After a while, you don't really notice that, you know, that makes you tired or makes your stomach upset, makes your joints ache, etc. So the reintroduction diet, being scientific about it, giving yourself 3 days to introduce each food, and we do that to make sure that you have an adequate amount of time to assess whether or not you're having a negative reaction, because the immune system, which mediates most of the negative responses we're looking for, but not all, takes about, in some cases, up to 3 days in order to have a reaction. So there's what's called a delayed hypersensitivity that can occur. So that's why you're giving it a painstaking 3 days with each food.
It's hardest with the first one. Yesterday, I was like, okay, I get cheese back. I want like a burger.
Yeah, but cheese pairs so well with meat.
So I decided just to get some cheese sticks. So far, so good. Okay on the cheese, but I'm looking forward to the wheat and the gluten on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're charged with eating a fair amount of that over the course of the 3 days too, so that your body does get a good dose, so you know whether or not you're having a negative reaction.
I've been a habitual Starbucks chai drinker for several years now. I gave up caffeine 5 weeks ago. I didn't need caffeine at all. I didn't need caffeine, and I have no desire to drink milk again.
Oh, wow.
So I don't have any craving. It's like I woke up on Mondays when I started the challenge diet, and I was trying to think, oh gosh, I get to have milk again. I'll go get a chai. But then there's the caffeine part, which, you know, you have to be careful about when you haven't been on caffeine for a while. Mm-hmm. And you can actually get palpitations, I understand. Yikes. But I was like, oh, well, if I don't really crave milk and I don't really need the caffeine, maybe I don't need to have the chai at all. So it has been an exploration. And I think the way I did it, by taking 3 weeks before I actually started the cleanse, I was very comfortable the whole time. I'd figured out what I needed to eat, which was a lot of rice and a lot of chicken. And actually, New Leaf had a lot of food that I could eat that was already prepared. And so it wasn't a bad experience at all. It was a great experience. And I love the focus and just the feeling that I have a little better grasp of how I'm healthy and how I'm not. I didn't have any good reaction, less ache or fewer hot flashes with the cleanse. So now after I do the challenge diet and I take the alcohol out, you've suggested a couple of approaches for me.
Yeah. Treating fibromyalgia is very individualized. As a naturopathic doctor and an acupuncturist, I get the benefits of seeing fibromyalgia from both a traditional, you know, holistic Chinese perspective, in which we would say concerned about there being cold trapped in the body. Cold is something that can negatively affect the joints. And then arthralgia, more than the muscle pain, is what Michelle is concerned with. And then From a Western perspective, a lot of studies show that fibromyalgia is more of a central nervous system concern, meaning that it's the brain's interpretation of what's going on in the musculoskeletal system that's the real source of the problem.
And that makes so much sense from my perspective, because the initiating thing was a drunk driving accident. I was hit by a drunk driver while I was sitting in my house on a couch. And I spent the next year in a lot of pain, laying in bed kind of thing. Your description of that cold, you know, and just the settling in of the pain into some sort of deep place in my body, it really feels like that.
Right. And so one of our approaches that I'm recommending to start with is to look at moving the blood and getting that cold out. And acupuncture and Chinese herbs are really effective in that way. So Michelle is going to bring on another member of our healthcare team, Dr. Jana Axelrad, in order to help us efforts.
Yes. And we're also going to try to do something about the hot flashes, too.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think we're going with more herbs.
Yeah.
And maybe a little acupuncture as well, because that apparently has worked for some people.
Yes, absolutely. Acupuncture can be effective for many people, as well as Chinese herbs. In this case, I'm going to recommend take a little bit more of a Western naturopathic approach, and we'll introduce a little bit of phytoestrogens into the mix.
That's a plant-based estrogen.
Yeah, so phyto means plant, and then the estrogen is in reference to the hormone. So those phytoestrogens can be derived from a lot of different plants, including soy is probably the most common one. And the one that we're going to use is derived from Siberian rhubarb. And so oftentimes a small dose of that can be effective in eliminating the hot flashes and is a great alternative to the use of actual bioidentical estrogen, which is another option. But our goal is always to use the least invasive methods first.
You said something about this estrogen, that it didn't attach really strongly.
Yeah, phytoestrogens, they bind to estrogen receptors, but they don't bind as strongly. They have a good affinity, but not as strong an affinity as an actual estrogen molecule. So for that reason, their studies have shown that they can be a little bit protective against the negative effects of estrogen and estrogen therapy or people who are estrogen dominant. So in some cases, there's a lot of long-term studies looking at breast cancer rates, and people who had a fair amount of phytoestrogens actually had lower rates and had estrogen-positive cancers, lower rates of those cancers. And the theory is that the phytoestrogens are competing for the same site where the stronger estrogen is binding to. So you're getting a little bit of stimulation, but it's not too strong. So I feel better about introducing a phytoestrogen as a first-line therapy for hot flashes. And then if that isn't effective, then we can consider something that's more potent, like a bioidentical estrogen.
Well, I was a little nervous about the whole estrogen hormone therapy, but now that you've described it, I feel okay with it.
So, less scary,
well,
yeah.
Yes, less scary, exactly. Okay. And that's, I think that's your job, is to make us less scary.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, information, you know, we're often just afraid of what we don't understand. So,
right.
Yeah, these conversations are helpful.
And that's why I do this podcast, so you guys feel less scared about this kind of stuff, too. Thanks again, Dr. Steven.
My pleasure.
Talk again soon.